everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on The Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen is engineering and producing our show. It was a cold morning. Not as bad here in Tucson, but I was just checking out some of the low temperatures in Cochise County. 14 degrees in the little town of Fairbanks in Cochise County along the San Pedro River. So that does qualify certainly as a very hard freeze over in Cochise County. We are plunging ahead here on a brand new minted Thursday afternoon, November the 12th, 2015. Hope you're having a good day and looking forward to a great weekend. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream our show, which means you don't need to be by a radio, and that's really kind of the future, I think, of radio. People listening to the show really anywhere through the computer, live streaming at kvoi.com and on my website, buckmastershow.com. We're going to get an update on the whole Regional Transportation Authority plan as they begin their 10th year in the area's road building program. We're going to really take a deep dive into all of that for the first half hour of the show. And about 12:30, we will welcome Arizona Republic columnist Linda Valdez. She'll talk about her new book, and then we'll close out the show with the latest on the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, which is coming at the end of the year at the Arizona Stadium. So lots of things going on here in Southern Arizona. The live line number, 790-2040. Our Facebook page is under my name, Bill Buckmaster. Still welcoming more friends to that. We're also welcoming you now as we do the Twitter thing at Buckmaster Show. Well, it was in May of 2006 that the voters in Pima County approved a half-cent regional sales tax to fund a 20-year, $2 billion transportation improvement plan. As we approach now the halfway point, about 700 RTA projects have been completed, with nearly $750 million being spent. And the RTA folks want to begin celebrating. Who can blame them? So they are beginning really an anniversary party that will go the whole year starting now. Jim DeGroot is here. Jim is Transportation Director for the Regional Transportation Authority. Britton Dornquist is here as well. Britton is the Program Manager for the RTA's program that is known as the Main Street Business Assistance Program. Jim and Britton, good to see you, gentlemen.
Good to see you as well. Thank you for having us, Bill.
Well, Jim, let's begin with kind of the overview. I kind of gave threw out a couple of quick numbers there. 700 RTA projects, $750 million being spent, and the RTA takes pride in saying that they are delivering. Has the program delivered?
In my opinion, it's done a great job delivering. We're winding up, if you will, our first campaign of major road projects. We've also been paying a lot of attention to some of our smaller projects, some of the intersections. I think when we went to the voters back in 2006, we said we'd build 200 intersection projects. We're over 160 completed, and we'll be well in excess of 200 when we wrap up the program. We've got bus pullouts well ahead of schedule. I think 108 of the 200 of those that have been promised have been delivered. We're quite along our way on these categorical projects, and we're about ready to go into our second major road building campaign.
What would you characterize, Jim DeGroot, as the major projects that were completed in at this kind of halfway point?
Well, at the halfway point, probably going back to the major program, the roadway element projects. We have the Twin Peaks TI, one of our first projects that we completed. That now is hosting a new premium outlet mall in Marana. We have the I-19 frontage road. You don't think about that very much. It's one of our smaller projects. That I think was actually the first one that was completed, and that now is hosting the new Green Valley Hospital down there. We've done work on East Speedway. We've done additional work up in Marana, connecting that new interchange to the Dove Mountain community. We have our first phase of Grant Road under our belt, and we're going getting ready to go on to the next phase. That'll probably be this spring when we start seeing the major road work on that, going through the First Avenue intersection, the Stone intersection, 6th Street intersection, all the way through Park.
And Britton, let's bring you into the conversation from your point of view, the 10-year on your end of things with the Main Street program. How would you characterize things?
I'd say it's been very successful from the standpoint of an idea that was brought to fruition to execution for this program. We are really unique in what we're providing. We really saw that in full. Jim and I were asked to speak at the APWA conference, their international conference, about our program. And we brought that forward to interested jurisdictions and participants in the public works area. And there was really good feedback and lots of interest in that. So we're over 5,000 businesses now that we've directly worked with through the – there's 50-some different projects, everything from a bus pullout type project, which is quick and comparatively all the way to the big work on I-10. Pretty much everywhere you see cones, our team is out there and involved and staying very busy. We've also continued to tweak our program, and we're actually at a 10-year point here where we're doing an internal evaluation of all aspects. We're making it better for them. It's sort of that whole idea of taking the focus group and getting input, and we have lots of feedback processes and continuing. We have another 10 years, and we want it to be even better than it is now at this point.
Was the Main Street program something that was a hybrid? Was this created especially for the RTA?
It was. It was taking ideas that had been generated around locally. There were some various forms of business assistance that existed nationally, basically looking at all the different types of services that existed. We knew we had a finite budget. We had 20 years, and we'd have over 10,000 businesses to potentially work with over the course of that 20 years. So we set up a program that would utilize that effectively and put all its energy in with the business. We always like to take great pride that we all use private sector consultants. And the fact is that we spend 6-7% of all our time with the businesses. We are very lean and mean in that regard and tend to stay away from bureaucratic aspects and spend our time with the clients.
We've got some big projects, Jim DeGruyt, now looking ahead. Actually, we don't have to look ahead very far. We can just, in the next 6 months, we'll be very busy.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, we've got the Grant Road project that's about to kick off. There will be a couple of open houses even next week that Britton will be able to tell you about. Mm-hmm. Some projects that are coming online. Tangerine Road, the first phase of that. I think they're already clearing up along Tangerine Road now to begin the work for that.
Open house for that one?
Yeah. That's coming up next Thursday, actually. And the Tangerine open house is going to be taking place up there at Dove Mountain, essentially. That's an evening meeting. Starts off at about 5:30, and people can arrive, and they'll have a presentation that'll occur at about 6:15. The actual meeting is from 6 to 7:30, but people get there as early as 5:30. The response to that Tangerine work that was done, well, essentially the TI that Jim spoke about earlier, is so positive that we get really great attendance at those open houses up on the north side. But that'll be the first phase of a number of phases here for Tangerine Road. So this is the pre-construction open house. So you can go online to the RTA website and get more information about that if you're up in that neck of the woods and want to know more about that.
Jim DeGruyt, outreach has been so important with this whole thing. And I know that same night over on Sabino Canyon, the road extension, there's another open house
exactly.
for that particular project. Is that you try to have these open houses before work actually begins?
Yeah, actually, on that particular project, there's been a series of open houses. Actually, all projects really, yeah. We're interested in getting public comment throughout the project from inception when we're planning the project, trying to make sure that we're getting the components right, showing people how they're going to be specifically affected. If they're adjacent to the roadway, that's something that the designers work on, and Britton's team comes in and plays a great role in terms of helping the business owners understand what their options are, how they can manage their own businesses during the course of construction, and really what to expect. So all of our projects do have a great deal of outreach.
There's also the long-range regional plan, and there's been some more public input associated with that. That will be the plan that really looks even beyond the RTA, all the way to the year 2045, right? And that there's an open house coming up in Green Valley for our listeners down there. That's going to be Friday morning, November 13th, at the Joyner Green Valley Library. So folks can come out at 9:30 and really hear what is planned for the really long-range future of this area.
Right. Yeah, we have to be continually looking ahead. In fact, we by law have to every 4 years do an update on our regional transportation plan. This was a little more comprehensive an update than we've done in recent past, because we're starting to recognize the changes in our economy and in our growth patterns that have occurred in the wake of the Great Recession.
We're going to take a break right here. We have more to talk about, lots more to talk about concerning our road situation. We're going to talk about downtown, how the streetcar is doing. So there's a lot more to come on the Buckmaster Show during this first half hour. But right now, let's pause and listen to the folks who make our program possible. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Say hello to some of our satisfied customers, who to us are also number one.
Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books.
Brian Jeffries, voice of the Wildcats.
Mike Truba, executive vice president of Commerce Bank of Arizona.
Wow, what a lineup. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company. Yes, now offering flowers, lounge furniture, decor, and so much more. On Speedway or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. We're at exactly 12:20 on a kind of a chilly day, but it's warmed up very nicely into the mid-70s, so I don't think we have to worry too much on the overnight lows tonight. It's going to be a very beautiful afternoon here. Jim DeGroote is with us. Mr. DeGroote, Transportation Director for the Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA. Britton Dornquist is here. He's Program Manager for the RTA's Main Street Business Assistance Program, which is now really becoming a model for business assistance programs throughout the country. A lot of interest in what's been going on in Tucson and this interaction with business folks who are impacted by road construction projects. 790-2040. Caller John has called us on the Buckmaster Show live line, and he would like to join in the conversation. Go ahead, John.
Bill, it was a pleasure to meet you Monday. I was the one who wandered into the studio. But for the gentleman on the Sabino Canyon Cold Road extension, are we getting $22 million worth of bang for our buck out of that? I know it's going to be expensive to cross the landfill, but we're getting $22 million worth of value, and what's the current estimate of cost?
Thank you, John.
Well, that is a great question, John, and it sounds like you've been tracking it. Without a doubt, that is, in my opinion, going to be a real important improvement out in that area. We don't have too many options on how to deal with the gridlock that we're experiencing out at those intersections. What this is going to do, though, is it's going to provide some additional alternatives for people to get around that very congested Tankerville Grant Kolb intersection, and it will also, believe it or not, help out on Tankerville going to the east. We have a real heavy left turn movement that occurs at Sabino going on to eastbound Tankerville. A lot of those people are basically trying to continue their travels to the south, and they would be able to continue to do that on Kolb, rather than have to make the jog off to the left at Sabino, and then make a right on to Pantano. We know we've got a lot of congestion on that Tankerville off ramp there onto Wrightston, and that'll definitely help on that.
John, thank you for the question. It was a delight to meet you. Enjoyed meeting you. John is an airline pilot who listens to KVOI when he's in town. He travels the country, but his home base is Tucson, and it was nice to meet you, John. About Tankerville, the open house is coming up on Thursday. That's November the 19th, 5:30 in the afternoon to 7 p.m. at the Udall Center. So folks that have questions in that area, live in that area about what's coming up, that is a great opportunity, Jim DeGroote, for them to come out.
Indeed,
and
it
hear
is.
More. Britton Dornquist, let's bring you in again about how is the streetcar doing? And of course, that there is an RTA component with the streetcar. People think of it as a City of Tucson project, but it's also an RTA project.
Yeah, we were the largest funder of the streetcar mm-hmm. within dollars as part of the election. It was actually a part of the plan. The streetcar is doing well. They're still exceeding all their numbers from the original estimates that they put forth. The response has continued to grow in support. It's interesting. The streetcar had a tremendous amount of support the closer you were to the actual car, and as sort of you moved out, it waned. But as people have come downtown and seen what has happened to downtown and the revitalization and the changes that have occurred, they can't help but kind of take that into consideration and notice that, especially with the businesses being so bullish about it. In fact, this coming the day after Black Friday, that the Saturday, and I know you're going to have a guest on talking about, I don't want to steal her thunder.
That's okay.
Erica from Local First.
That'd be next Thursday.
Arizona, yeah. They're actually have a sponsor. TMC has sponsored the streetcar for a free ride day on the Saturday after Black Friday. I think that's November 28th. I'm trying to do that off the top of my head. And it's also local shop local day.
Yeah.
And so a great opportunity to be able to shop all those great districts from the East End to the West End. Lots of opportunities for local shopping. And you can ride the streetcar all day for free
as
care of TMC.
Erica will be here one week from today. Hard to believe Thanksgiving is 2 weeks from today. And then the Black Friday, of course, and then you were talking about Saturday.
Right.
All these activities will be going on along with the Local First spearheading all of that. I often say that the fastest 2 months of the year, once November 1st hits, before you know it, it's New Year's Eve, and it's a new year. The fastest 2 months of the year, we are in the midst of that right now. We've got about 5 minutes to go here with our interview about the RTA now looking ahead to the 10-year program. And Jim DeGroote, I wonder, how does the economy fit in all of this? There's been ups and downs, certainly, since the RTA was passed, shortly after the RTA was passed in 2006. Of course, we all know we've heard it so many times that the stock market had kind of the worst downturn since the Great Depression. How has all of that played into this?
Well, you know, that's a good question to ask, and I guess I'm going to put in another plug for Local First Saturday, because you know, that is something that is real important to us. We are starting to see more and more leakage to internet sales. I think we probably all know people that that bulk buy their toilet paper and have it drop shipped to them, and you know that's I make fun of that, but you know, we are changing the way we do commerce, and that has had an impact on the RTA. We are a sales tax collecting organization, and the economy has suffered as a result of the economic downturn. Obviously, we're well below what we thought we would collect. Thankfully, we've also enjoyed very competitive pricing. I mean, with the recession came also a heightened competitiveness. We're fortunate that in many cases we estimated high during a more robust time, and we've not seen too much difference from our costs in the grand scheme of things. In fact, we've been very favorable on a number of our programs, but it's something that we're all going to have to really work hard to make sure that we can deliver the remaining part of the program with the funds that we have available, and everybody's committed to doing it.
There's a big project coming up downtown. It's called Downtown Links. Britton, can you kind of summarize that? And we are quickly running out of time. If you could summarize what is involved with that and what we can expect.
Well, Downtown Links is an extension of the Brazos Aviation Highway. It bypasses the downtown and really gives some options for the traveling public to be able to go north up Stone, 6th, etc., and all the way over to the freeway. About 70-some percent of all traffic heading down Broadway that goes through downtown is actually trying to go north or get over across to the freeway. There's also large drainage components of that project, and removing large amounts of developable land and land that already has businesses on it out of the floodplain. There are also little perks that the downtown will no longer will at some point after the completion of this project be a whistle-free zone, which has incredible value for many of the property owners right along. If you've ever been next to a property when that horn goes off, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. There's going to be improved intersections. There's going to be safety. There's a lot more pedestrian-related aspects to the project that will be real great for connectivity for bike and ped as well. That deck plaza that goes over as we actually go under the railroad tracks along 6th. There's many components to it, but it's basically in utility construction right now, and look for that to move into full construction sometime later this summer when it goes out to bid. That's all I'll say about that. And I will get in big trouble if I do not plug this, Bill.
Go ahead.
The McGee Spree, which is another project we just finished up, McGee project, which was many phases. And the businesses up there, in combination with the Northern Pima County Chamber of Commerce, are doing a celebration this Saturday, actually, from 10 to 2, up at the intersection of McGee and Ina. All those businesses have been through construction, and many times businesses get together, put together a little event, if you may, sales, goodies, fun, and celebration, and that's happening this weekend.
And where can people find out more about the
you
Main
can go
Street
to the Northern
well.
Pima County Chamber of Commerce, their website, mm-hmm. and you will be able to find a link and the flyer and all the specifics with that.
And for more information generally about the Main Street program, go to the
RTAmobility.com.
RTAmobility.com. I've had a caller here, and let's see if we can help this caller out. And I don't know if this will fit in your jurisdiction, gentlemen, but perhaps we can send Manny to someone that can help. Manny, go ahead. I am over time, but I do want to accommodate people if possible, so go ahead.
Thanks. Historically, the tour ends, El Tour to Tucson ends on 22nd, and historically 22nd hasn't always been the smoothest road to ride on. Just calling to find out if there's any work, planned work on that small stretch of road before the tour.
Okay, thank you, Manny. Let's see if we can answer your question.
You know, I'm not certain about whether or not the Tucson Department of Transportation has got anything in the offing. We just finished our Kino and 22nd Street intersection project, so that work's complete. We expect to go east with the next phase, but that's probably a year or better out. But TDOT might have some information on paving activities.
Tucson Department of Transportation.
Yeah, thank you.
Britton and Jim DeGroote, thank you very much. Britton, both of you guys doing great work. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having
us.
Thank
you, Bill.
Thank you very
much. Appreciate it.
We're going to take our pause right here, our mid-pause of the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. Arizona Republic columnist Linda Valdez is in the house. She's going to talk about her new book, and that's coming up next. Stay with us.
You know where to throw?
You can be part of the solution this Saturday, November 14th from 10 until 2. The City of Tucson Goodwill and Tucson Clean and Beautiful will offer free document shredding, e-waste collection, textile recycling, and compost demonstrations.
We'll be taking your old broken computers and all your unwanted clutter for recycling. There will be a thrift shop fashion show and delicious food and fun for the entire family.
Saturday, November 14th from 10 until 2 at El Rio Neighborhood Center. Learn more at nowheretothrow.com.
Hi, Financial Whiz Kid here with some tax advice for you. This year, you can make a charitable gift to Christian Family Care and help provide safe foster homes and caring parents for kids who really need them. The Arizona Foster Care Tax Credit lets you donate hundreds of dollars to this worthy cause and take a state tax credit for all of it, so there is no expense to you. And chances are, you can claim it on your federal taxes too. It's so simple, even a kid can do it. To learn more, visit fostercarecredit.org. That's fostercarecredit.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A new book titled Crossing the Line, A Marriage Across Borders, is not your typical immigration story. It's the story of a middle-class American woman from Ohio who falls in love with the son of an impoverished family from rural Mexico, a man who crosses the border illegally to be with her. Married in 1988, Linda and Sixto Valdez learn to love each other's very different families and cultures, raising their child to walk proudly in both worlds. Linda Valdez is a columnist and editorial writer at the Arizona Republic and at azcentral.com. She is also one of our contributors to our Friday roundtable here on The Buckmaster Show. She has won numerous awards for her commentary on immigration, including being a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in 2003, and winning the Scripps Howard Walker Stone Award in 2010. Linda, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Good to be here.
So this is different, isn't it? Gets pretty personal.
This is a very personal story. Yes, it is.
How did the whole thing come about, you deciding to really put this down and go forward with a book?
Well, you know, I've covered immigration for a long time. I covered it for the Arizona Daily Star for years, and I've covered it for the Arizona Republic on the editorial page for many, many years. And there's so many stereotypes out there. There's so many misconceptions, and it's so much a political story. But in reality, it's about people. And I thought I wanted to share my personal story, my experiences with marrying, as you say, a man who was from a home. He grew up in a house with dirt floors and came here and learned about our culture and our language and our ways. And I spent a lot of time learning about his. And I just thought it was important that people hear that story, that to try and personalize this, take it a little bit out of the political realm.
Was that that must have been quite a cultural shock for you, meeting Sixto, and not just meeting him, but eventually meeting his family and where they came from, because as I said in the introduction, middle class family where you came from in Ohio, came out here at a relatively a young age, pre-teenager. And what was that experience like?
It was an eye-opener, I think, for both of us. It was a complete culture shock for both of us. He came here, as you mentioned, he had to cross the border illegally. We tried to get him the visa to come here legally, and they refused to give it to him because he fit the demographic of people they don't want to come here, young men that they think are going to come here and work. So even though we had all the papers in order, they refused to give him a visa. So the first year and a half or so, we did not go back to Mexico until he got his legalization here. He's now a citizen. But yes, the first time I went there, I dealt with the situation. You know, I learned how to sweep a dirt floor. I learned how to live without plumbing. They did have electricity, but you know, you just experience a whole different world. And for him, of course, when he first moved here, we were living in an apartment that in Mexico would have probably housed 15 people. And there was just the two of us there.
What part of Mexico is his family from?
Outside of Los Mochis, mm-hmm. in Sinaloa. Mm-hmm. It's about 600 miles south. His family lived in a small community outside of Los Mochis.
And how did it begin, your story with Sixto? Where did you meet him?
I took a vacation with my mother on the train to Copper Canyon.
Oh yeah, I've done that trip.
Yeah. Well, he was training to be a hotel manager at one of the hotel chains down there, and when we stayed in Posada Barrancas, he was there, but he twisted his ankle, and he had to take the train back to Los Mochis, and we sat next to each other. That's how I met him. Mm-hmm. We stopped at Saracawi on the way back and got to know each other there. And it was basically, it was one of these love at first sight stories. I never believed such things happened, but it did.
Then falling in love with a gentleman on the other side of the border, that becomes problematic in its own. The courtship became problematic. I'm just guessing, right?
Well, it was a bit it took about several weeks, and then he came to the border. He called me at work from Nogales, from the other side of the border, and I went down there. We spent about 6 weeks where I would travel down there and walk, mm-hmm. during the time we were trying to get him his papers before he crossed the border. But it was a little bit of a problematic courtship. When he finally got here, we got married 2 weeks after he arrived.
What are the more, as we look at your story, what does that tell us kind of about the whole immigration debate? It's a debate that sometimes folks want to simplify, make it very easy.
They want to make it very easy, mm-hmm. and they want to make it as though the immigrants are our enemies. They don't fit in here. They don't belong here. He fit into my family. I mean, he embraced my family. His family embraced me. And it was an enriching experience for all of them. I think the lesson is there's nothing to be afraid of. They're wonderful people. He's a wonderful person. It's a wonderful culture. And it enriches the United States to have immigrants come here. The Mexican border is basically the new Ellis Island, and we need to embrace the people who are coming here.
And the political debate, just the rhetoric, just seems to heat up now about what we're going to do about immigration. Where are we going with all of this, do you think?
It just gets uglier and uglier and more political. I think eventually it will calm down. The Republican Party is really going off the deep end on this right now, and I hope they pull back and realize what they're doing.
As a writer, I want to talk a little bit about putting all of this in a very personal experience. You're a journalist, and you deal with facts, and so this, not that your book isn't factual, I'm sure it is, but it's a different experience because it's personal.
It is.
And how did you approach that, and were there some areas that you just felt, I'm not real comfortable talking about some of this?
Well, the part, I guess those parts I didn't include.
Okay. I thought there had to be some of those parts, right?
But it's a, I wrote it more like a novel. It mm-hmm. reads very much like a novel. It's a personal story. It's not a political story. It's not political at all. It's about, it's a love story. It's about people encountering each other's families. It's about all the challenges. And as you say, it is very personal. I talk about my hopes and dreams and his hopes and dreams. And much of that is kind of, it's an odd feeling to know that that's out there in the world now for people to read. But
And I know you two are very happily married.
We are.
I see your wonderful posts on Facebook, and you have a lovely daughter.
We do.
And mm-hmm. so Sixto has gone on to, he's an educator.
He's a teacher.
Yeah.
He teaches at Tucson Unified School District. He teaches first, second, and third grade combined class of Montessori.
So his assimilation experience, how would you characterize that? Was it difficult for him, or seems to have jumped in and the water was fine?
Well, I think the water was fine. I mean, I'm sure it's very difficult to leave your home like that. When he was 29, when he got here, all he knew was Mexico. He knew very little English, but he didn't want to speak Spanish when he got here. We didn't watch Spanish language TV. We didn't, you know. He immediately started learning English and has learned it very well. Although we did carry around a Spanish-English dictionary with us for at least the first year, I think.
Well, congratulations on the book. And the book is just out. And it will be available where? Where can we get a hold of the book?
It will be available in bookstores, but you can get it right now. You can order it online through tamupress.com. That's Texas A&M Press.com. Just type in Crossing the Line and you can order it there.
Yeah, again, the book is titled Crossing the Line, A Marriage Across Borders. Linda Valdez, a friend of this program, and I've known Linda for years, and want to congratulate her on telling a very personal story that's beautifully written. Linda, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks a lot.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control is announcing they now have pigeon services with a pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ Five Star Pest Control's pigeon trapping and exclusion program, and you'll be pleased. Whew, getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. At about 10 minutes now toward 1 o'clock on the Buckmaster Show, this portion brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Our friends over there always welcoming Tucson visitors. We send so many of their listeners from the Tucson area over there. It's only a 3-hour drive, and everybody has a good time because it's a different experience. My goodness, it's so beautiful up there in the Gila, the nation's first wilderness area. Lot to do in Silver City, very historic area, a lot of shopping, antiquing, and fine dining as well. So check out southwestnewmexico.org. That is the place for all the listings of the many things to do and great places to stay like Georgetown Cabins. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show, Alan Young. Mr. Young is the CEO of the Arizona Sports and Entertainment Commission, which has been instrumental in bringing to Tucson and creating the inaugural 2015 Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. This is a bowl game that's going to be played right here in Tucson at Arizona Stadium on Tuesday, December 29th at 5:30 in the afternoon. Alan, how are you? Thanks for being with us.
Good, Bill. I'm great, and it's nice to be here. It's a beautiful day.
This game was sanctioned by the NC2A in March of 2015. It's the 41st college football bowl game, and the third in Arizona. I was disappointed when we lost our bowl game back in 1999, the Insight Copper Bowl, known as Copper Bowl, then became Insight. So it's been a while since we've had a bowl here, but Alan, why do you think we're ready now for it?
Oh, it's just, I think a lot has changed in the college football landscape, and so much so that Tucson has become a perfect place to hold a bowl game like this. And I think that the community is ready, the local sponsorships are ready, and the fans are ready, but certainly all the stakeholders that we have in our game are excited that it's going to happen again after, I think, about 17, 18 years, Bill.
The teams that will be coming, who can we look for?
You know, we have contracted with the Mountain West Conference, teams that have colleges throughout the Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, California, Idaho, and also with Conference USA, which has teams from Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and a little bit back east. But two great conferences with big-time college football, high-powered offenses that'll be a lot of fun for our bowl.
Tell me a little bit about the Arizona Sports and Entertainment Commission and its role in putting all of this together.
We're about a 35-year-old organization that brings events from outside of our community into our community to help create economic impact. So anything from lacrosse and soccer and swimming to really anything that brings people in that normally wouldn't come. We also own the Grand Canyon State Games, which are about 60 games throughout the year throughout Arizona that highlight local athletes of all ages and abilities. So it was natural that the local organizing committee from Tucson asked us if we could get together, put on a bowl game, and make it happen.
How are the tickets? When will the tickets be available, and how will they be obtained?
Great question. The tickets are available on our website at azbowlgame.com, and they're available now. And that's the nice thing about this bowl is that we have tickets starting at $15. So we want everybody to be able to come out, not to just enjoy the game, but the whole week of the bowl game, we will have all kinds of activities and pre-game shows and block parties and that will just have an experience that the whole community can enjoy.
And the broadcast strategy is a bit, well, it is unique really for this game.
It's unique to any bowl game, and it's a digitally focused broadcast where campus insiders will digitally broadcast the bowl, which really means that, and it's HD, it's great announcers and that, but anybody in the world who wants to watch this game for free can put it on their TVs or on their iPads or telephones, and then we'll also have a regular broadcast component. American Sports Network has outlets throughout the nation, and you'll be able to get it on your regular TV as well.
Yeah, live streaming is really where it's at for broadcasting. I mentioned that at the beginning of today's show that you don't, for this particular program, you don't need to be by a radio. If you're around a computer, we live stream our show. People listen to this show all over the world, and they can do so if they've got a computer on them in front of them. They go to KVOI.com or my website, BuckmasterShow.com, and it's there for them.
It's amazing. And in fact, the NFL this year was the first year that they live streamed only a game, and it was very successful. And they believe that this is the future of the way people will watch sporting events.
You know, for folks that are thinking, well, I'm not that much into football, I do want to support the community, it may be something you may want to come out. The price point, as Alan points out, is low enough that the whole family can enjoy an outing. And what you're doing is it's an experience, and you're helping our Tucson economy.
Well, it helps the Tucson economy immensely, and to have a bowl game in here at a week that there's not an awful lot of activity, the hotels are excited. But I think maybe the most excited that we get are with the charitable donations. We've pledged to give the net proceeds from the game to local Southern Arizona charities. So that's really the first bowl game to do that, and we hope to be able to give a lot away. So the more people that come, the more people that support it, the more money we can give to local charities.
Some of the beneficiaries, United Way of Tucson, correct?
United Way of Tucson, Boys and Girls Club, and then at the end of it, we will have a system where people can apply for their nonprofits to receive some of this charity.
So when will the teams be announced, Alan?
The college football season ends on December 6th, and at that time, it kind of falls into place what teams go where. So Sunday, December 6th, will be the big day that we'll be able to announce who's coming to our game.
The Eller College figured out what the economic impact of this game will be, and it could be as high as $25 million generated by tourism and other activities that go along in the creation of part-time jobs associated with the bowl. And you're talking about several thousand room bookings too during game week.
It is. It's the rooms. It's the meals. It's the exposure also that we give to Tucson, to Southern Arizona, to really the world before and during and after the game is really important to what we're trying to do and what will benefit Tucson.
And you have a lot of local people who are working on this.
Oh, it's amazing. The volunteers needed for this, the corporate sponsorships, the ticket, people selling tickets. It's certainly a team effort, and we think we've got the best team with an awful lot of local people doing a lot of work.
Alan Young, with the CEO of the Arizona Sports and Entertainment Commission. I'm just curious, Alan, what was the process like when you had to go before the NC2A? You had to make your case. You had to present to them. What was that process like, Alan?
Well, it's a daunting process. There's an awful lot of details, but it involved getting the conferences to come to play in your game. The Mountain West Athletic Conference and Conference USA had to agree to send teams here. The NCAA had to approve this. The television networks had to want to televise this game. Certainly, University of Arizona is such a big part of this, and renting their stadium, using their stadium was key. But it was an easy story, Bill, because everyone involved in this process thought this would be a perfect opportunity to get a bowl game back here. So a lot of work, but a lot of support from all the stakeholders in this.
And again, price range from non-reserve seats, $15 up to $180 for box tickets. And those tickets are available now. And again, Alan, the website?
azbowlgame.com.
Okay, and that bowl is coming up between Christmas and New Year's, Tuesday, December 29th. I like that start time, 5:30. It's a great time to be outside.
Yeah.
It won't be too cold, but it should be good football weather.
It'll be fun. Pre-game parties will be fun.
That's it.
It'll be good.
Alan Young, thank you very much, CEO of the Arizona Sports and Entertainment Commission. Thank
Great
you,
to
Alan.
Be with you. Thank you.
Coming up this afternoon, it's 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. That show 4 to 5, one of our fine local talk shows. We do 4 hours of local talk in the morning, 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9, and then Sean McCluskey from 9 to 10. With his show, The Talk of the Town. My show, The Buckmaster Show, back with you tomorrow at 12:04. Our guest will be Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. That's coming up tomorrow on The Buckmaster Show, along with our Friday roundtable. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening, and thank you, Ray Allen. Another great job on the other side of the glass.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.